two of the first three chapters in there reminds us that we are compelled.
Now, can you hear me? That we are compelled to sing and that we are commanded to sing. And singing is such a privilege for us as the people of God to lift up our voices and worship the Lord God who created us. This morning we've got a short video for us as we get started.
What are my New Year's resolutions?
To lose weight.
Giving up caffeine.
No smoke.
Okay. Next, the video. That's what happens when you send a video last minute to the sound guys and they're not able to check it. That was about New Year's resolutions, though, as you may have picked up from looking at the first part of that. And it was a fabulous video, by the way. I hate that you will not be able to view it. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. Really mixed on what to share with you all today, because as we go into 2018, it's such an important time for us to really prepare on this day for tomorrow and how we're going to seek to live our lives for the Lord, and really thinking, just kind of thinking about why New Year's is such a big deal. Listed five reasons that I came back with. It gives us an opportunity to sort of look back in thankfulness and faith and thanking God for what He has done over this past year. Or it gives us an opportunity to look back and see where we had missed opportunities, perhaps, or we really didn't do what we had committed that we were going to do for the Lord. We didn't get to the point to where we desired to get to. So we kind of look back seeing that, but it also gives us, the new year gives us an opportunity to look forward with anticipation into the coming year, knowing that, again, the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Number three, we can continue building. Perhaps you have this year made progress. Going into next year, you want to continue to build on that progress. Maybe it's in some Christian discipline in your life, some other area, but you want to continue to build on that. Number four, we can begin building again. That is, if we realize we haven't made that progress that we hope to make, we can afresh tomorrow begin trying to build again that which we still are lacking in. And number five is this: we can remember God is merciful and faithful. The new year ought to remind us of that, of the mercifulness and of the faithfulness of our God, and that He never changes, and that He continues to be with us and to give us opportunity, life and breath and being. So resolutions, you know, are oftentimes a big deal for the new year. I personally am not a big resolution guy. And I suspect from knowing you that y'all are not big resolution people. And I end up forgetting them. And, you know, instead of, especially if it's a Christian discipline, I feel like it kind of knocks me off of a steady incline toward Jesus. Because so often our lives are up, down in our Christian life. Up, down, stay down for a long time. Up, down. And really it needs to be a steady incline toward Christ-likeness. That ought to be our goal. It ought to be a walk where we're walking with the Lord on a daily basis in His Word. And as we're doing so, we are steadily, by God's grace, growing in Christ likeness. And I have found that, you know, trying to do things like that sometimes knock me off of that. Jonathan Edwards had 70 resolutions that he wrote at a very young age in his early 20s that are powerful, that I encourage you to look at sometime if you've never looked at those resolutions of Jonathan Edwards. You may be looking at the year ahead and doing so with doubt, thinking that it's no use, I can't get anywhere spiritually, I can't get anywhere, you know, in any of the areas of my life. Well, I want to remind you today, don't despair. There is hope. Especially spiritually, there is hope, but there is something that is key for every one of us today that we must be aware of. And that thing is this: we must have endurance. We must have endurance. And when we come to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, we really find this book littered with the this theme of endurance, of hanging in there even when things are difficult or when times are tough. As a matter of fact, I want to show you how it's emphasized. If you look at chapter 10, verse 32. Chapter 10, verse 32. There the writer says, "But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings." You see endured there. Verse 34. "For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven." Verse 36 of chapter 10. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And then in chapter 11, verse 27, wrote there about Moses. "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." And then when we go to chapter 12, we find this endurance in verses 1 and 2 and 3 and 7. Please follow along as I read it. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with" what? "Endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him" what? "Endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 3. "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." And then down to verse 7. "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" As we think about the word endure, I found this illustration that I'd like to share with you. One writer wrote, he said, "I remember talking with one of the soldiers of the Army of the Potomac who took part in the Battle of Gettysburg. He belonged to the 6th Corps, the corps that made the famous march from Manchester to Gettysburg, a distance of 34 miles. He said that march, with the clouds of dust, the perspiration, the blood of chafed limbs trickling down into his shoes, was the hardest experience of his whole long war service." And it says here that it's sometimes harder to march than it is to fight. The test of endurance is the long march. You have set out on a long march. You will meet many others who have gone part of the way and turned back. You will have by your side many others who are ready to quit and go back with you, if you will go with them. But always there are some who are going steadily forward and who have no idea of anything but enduring unto the end. And Matthew 10:22 says, "He that endureth to the end shall be" what? "Shall be saved." That's exactly right. Endurance is important. And I want to kind of picture it for you in this way today, church, that our life as Christians, just as it is with reading the Bible, that's something that we need to remember. Reading the Bible, learning the Word of God, understanding the Scripture is not a sprint. It is a marathon. It is a lifelong venture or journey. It's the same way with the Christian life. It is not a sprint. It is a journey. Now, let's think about it in this way. Taylor and Trey were married yesterday, and a great celebration. That was one of the best receptions afterwards that I've been a part of. I mean, it was just great. And it really, none of that matters if 30, 40, 50 years from now, they are no longer together. Right? So if it all ties together from beginning to end, and it's been one long marathon of faithfulness and growth and love, then praise be to God. But if it ends somewhere, if they quit because they ran it just because they thought it was a sprint, then it's not going to matter. It's going to be in vain. Let's look at some keys to endurance from this passage together today, very quickly. In the time that we have together, let's look at some keys to endurance. Number one is this: look around. In verse 1, therefore we also, the writer says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Surrounded is the idea of, it's the word, it means to lie all around, to enclose and to encircle. We can relate to this with today's stadiums. Athletics have been hugely popular in the Greco-Roman world. Paul many times used athletic analogies for the Christian faith. We can think about the bowl games coming up. You know, Alabama's got a big game on Monday. looking forward to watching those bowl games. Around those players are those who are sitting in the stands watching them. They will be surrounded by them. Here in Hebrews 12, what are the readers surrounded by? They're surrounded by so great a cloud of what? Witnesses. It's martyrs. It's the word from which we get the word martyr, but it's one who remembers. It's one who has information or knowledge or joint knowledge. In Hebrews 12:1, they are described as witnesses who have an experiential knowledge of that which is required. These witnesses surround believers not as those who are rooting them on, but as witnesses that through faith they have obtained the promises. They could say, life is hard. God's people must be faithful to Him. You see, those are the witnesses from chapter 11 that are surrounding the readers in the book of Hebrews. Excuse me. And he's saying that they are there as proof that faith matters and that faith is, that God rewards those people of faith. So number one, we need to look around. Number two, we need to lighten up. All right? Number one, look around. Number two, lighten up. Look at it in verse 1. He says there, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. So the second point is we need to lighten up. There where we find the word weight, it's the idea of a burden or a mass. Athletes would train with weights strapped to their legs. Like baseball players who go to the on-deck circle and they'll put the sleeve on the bat or the donut on the bat, and they will swing that bat in order to loosen themselves up. And that's an extra weight on that bat. But that batter, I've never seen one of them go to the plate with that extra weight to slow down their bat speed to try to hit that fastball when it comes in. That would be ridiculous to do that. The weight in itself is not bad. Actually, it serves a good purpose. But when it comes to competing, the weight has to be laid to the side. And now we see here also that something else is to be laid aside, and that is sin. So the sin which so easily ensnares us, it is that missing the true goal, the scope of life. It's missing the mark. It's what the word sin is about, like an archer shooting an arrow at a target or a basketball player shooting for the hoop. They are shooting for a target. When you miss, that would be sin. That is missing the mark from which God intends for us. So when we sin, we are missing the mark that God has for us. So here he could be referring to, in Hebrews chapter 12, he could be referring to unbelief. He could be referring to them missing out on Christ-likeness, on the gospel, and continuing to stay focused on Jesus Christ. Here he reminds them, or he tells them, he instructs them, lay aside the weight and the sin which ensnares us. That ensnare, it means the idea of thwarting a competitor or a racer, tripping them up so that they cannot run effectively. Sin, in particular, ensnares us. It slows us down. It trips us up. It causes us to lose focus, and we lag. So we need to today, perhaps going into 2018, lay aside unbelief, the unbelief that causes us to continue in our sin and continues to cause us, really, to continue to focus on things that aren't the best for us. So applying this to our lives on a daily basis. We have so many distractions in the world, don't we? Facebook, social media stuff, the website, internet, things in this world that aren't necessarily bad, but they're a weight that slows us down. You see, John Piper has said something to this effect, and I'm not trying to quote him exactly, but he said something about social media that will stand as a witness against us one day that we had time to pray. Think about that for a second. The allurements of this world, our hobbies. This isn't Piper, this is just me continuing that thought. Our hobbies will stand as witness against us one day that we had time to read our Bibles. Right? Our interest will stand as witness against us one day that we had time to participate in Christian disciplines. That we had the opportunity, the time, the energy to participate in the local church. But we didn't. You see, he is writing to them here, saying, lay it aside. So number one, we need to look around. Number two, we need to lighten up. Number three, we need to let us run as we look at the last part of verse 1. He says there, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You see, folks, we're running a race. That's what our Christian life is about. And I don't know about you, but whenever I was in a race, whenever I've been in a race in my life, I wanted to win. Does anybody here go into a race just wanting to lose? I mean, seriously. If you line my kids up in the backyard and we have a race, every one of them wants to win, except for maybe one or two of them. They fall to the ground. They'd rather hit the deck than they would make the whole race. But really, everybody, they all want to win. But do we have that mentality as Christians, as a church? We want to win. We want to give it all that we've got. I think you got the sound system working. And we want to be effective. So he says there, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And that race is one that is run with endurance. There is need for endurance in this race because it is simply not going to be easy. I can promise you that about 2018. There's going to be some aspects or parts of it that will not be easy. Paul said that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. He also told Timothy that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus said as much in Luke 6 about those who are blessed. Think about this. The hymn writer has said, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes that for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy word. Thy saints in all this glorious war shall conquer though they die. They view the triumph from afar and seize it with their eye. When that illustrious day shall rise and all thy armies shine in robes of victory through the skies, the glory shall be mine, shall be thine. So we see here the hymn writer tells endurance is necessary in realizing endurance means going through hard times. But we see here also that the race is set before us. Each of us individually has a race. You have a race. We are pressing, we are all pressing toward Christ's likeness, ultimately to be fulfilled at the return of Christ and the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. But also we as a church corporately have a race to run. You notice he says there, look at it with me at the, in verse 12, the race that is set before us. New Life Baptist Church, we have a race that is set before us because we are striving together for the gospel and we do so linked arms, linking arms with one another, standing our ground and pushing forward in this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We seek to strive together, so we run together. Now I ask you this question today. Do you know as a believer that this is your race? Can you say, yes, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and yes, I am engaged. I am in this race following Him. Christ died for our sins in order that we might enter into that race and live a life of true purpose. Do you know? Second question, do you know in a definable way how you are contributing to this local church's progress toward maturity in Christ, toward being successful in that race? That's something we must think about. Do you see how you have a part here and are you engaged in it, seeking to do your part? So we've seen here, first of all, that we are to look around. We are to lighten up. We are to let us run. And then number four, we are to look unto Jesus. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus is how the author begins verse 2. And we're reminded of the hymn that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of the earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Look unto Jesus. We look unto Jesus because He is ultimately our goal. But we see here who Jesus is. Look at verse 2. We see who He is. He is the author and the what? Finisher of our what? Faith. Author means that He is the beginning or the originator of it. The finisher means that He is the completer. He is the perfecter. He is the one who brings it to full fulfillment. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher. But we see here also what Jesus endured. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the what? Cross. It is the instrument of agony, pain, and death. It was Rome's equivalent to the modern day electric chair, though the cross did not bring death immediately and was in open view as an intimidating reminder for all to see. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Think on this phrase with me for just a moment, if you would. Jesus hung naked on the cross, having been scourged, mocked, spat upon, and rejected. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 21:23 that anyone who is hung upon a tree is cursed. The word despised means that He did not think against it. To think against. You despise something or someone, you think against that person. But Jesus did not think against these things. And the question is, what is it that caused Him to not think against these things? And we see it in this passage. It was because of the joy that was set before Him. See it there in verse 2? Who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy that was before him is what kept him going. New Life Baptist Church in 2018, it's going to be difficult at certain times in the year. That is guaranteed for us as the people of God, but we must be a people who continue to look for the joy that's set before us. And what is that joy? It is Christ's likeness, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Christ is our joy, and we await joy one day when He returns in His fullness. Warren Wiersbe has said this, "Our values determine our evaluations. If we value comfort more than character, then trials will upset us. If we value the material and physical more than the spiritual, we will not be able to count it all joy." Excuse me. "If we live only for the present and forget about the future, the trials will make us bitter, not better." But we see finally what Christ has done. He has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In the book of Hebrews, this is found four times. In chapter 1, verse 3. In chapter 8, verse 1. In chapter 10, verse 12. In chapter 12, verse 2. Where it's the author states, Jesus has sat down. He's at the right hand of God. He is there as our high priest. The finished work is done, has been accepted. It was then and it is now. He is our perfect high priest. He is there for us. We can now consider Him. We can look to Him in faith, believing. So, in chapter 12, the author has reminded the readers that they must endure because there is one who came before them who's already endured. That was Jesus. If we are going to endure, what must we do? We must look to Jesus. We must continue to focus on Him. And you know, folks, this is so vital even in Christian disciplines. If we will look to Jesus, we will be faithful reading our Bibles. If we will look to Jesus, we'll be faithful praying. If we look to Jesus, we'll be faithful to the local church because that's where Jesus is going to lead us to be in all of these different areas in obedience to His Word. Look unto Jesus. And when times are hard, it's okay because we look unto Jesus. We keep being reminded of Him. So as we conclude, we go into 2018 hopefully with a biblical mindset. A mind that says we are not merely maintainers of an aquarium, but we are fishers of men. With a mind that is determined to fight complacency with every fiber of our spirit and replace it with diligence in the Christian life. With a mind that understands we mustn't be a fan of Jesus, but we must be a follower of Jesus. With a mind that is committed to the number one force by which the Lord Jesus Christ is making a difference in the world, and that is the local church. With a mind that says, why not now? Why not here? Why not us? With a mind that readily realizes that we are lifeless apart from the vine, Jesus, and that we can do nothing apart from Him. With a mind that is determined to lay aside weight and sin that slows us down in our race and to look unto our author and our finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. As we approach tomorrow, I pray that you're ready. If I were entitled this message, it would be ready, set, go. And we're going to win the race. We're going to run it faithfully if we look unto Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we, Lord, just pray this morning that we would look to you. Really, Lord, learn endurance. Lord, we're thankful for the privilege of seeing a new year and really the kind of the reset that happens there. And Lord, I pray this morning that we can, as a church and as individuals, recommit our lives to you for this new year. And Father, that we could be able to Lord, say not our will but yours be done. And Father, we pray, I pray today that as we go into this year, Lord, that we would not find ourselves being those who are weighed down with worldliness. Lord, not ensnared by sin. But Father, those who are free from those things because we're looking to Jesus. And our eye, our body is full of light because we're looking to Jesus. Lord, I pray today that you'd give us some good discernment so that we can see those weights in our lives. Because frankly, Lord, we become deceived very quickly. And I pray, Lord, that we would be able to see the areas where we are weighed down. Not with bad things necessarily, but they're not really good in helping us in our race. And Father, I pray that we would be able to clearly see and repent of sin in our lives going into this new year so that we can run more effectively. Lord, we pray these things, not forgetting all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us and the progress that's been made already. We want to continue to build on those things. And we look forward to doing that. Lord, please give us endurance. In church, as you sit there this morning, I just want to ask you to take a moment to evaluate your own spiritual life and recommit yourself personally to the Lord today. Father, we thank you for your mercies and for your faithfulness. And we pray these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, the gospel of Jesus Christ is what we strive together for. And the reason, you know, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, today, you may be sitting there and you know that you don't have faith in Jesus. But today, for some reason, somehow you believe. You see that He is the author. You won't have faith apart from Him bringing that and giving that to you. You won't keep it unless He finishes that. If you today, in your heart, bow your heart before Him in faith, and you've done that for the sake of the gospel and that Christ, because of what Christ has done, and let us know about that. And the Bible tells us those who believe the gospel are to obey the Lord in the waters of baptism, making a profession of what He has done in their lives, a spiritual cleansing and regeneration that takes place. And We would like to know about that. Let us know. We're going to sing one final hymn this morning. Now I'll share just a few announcements with you, and then we'll be dismissed. Would you please stand with me?